The recording that you're about to listen to is a talk from the City Bible Forum. We would appreciate you respecting our copyright by not making copies of this talk or altering the content in any way. We hope that you find the material beneficial. If you would like more information on the City Bible Forum, you can visit us on the web at citybibleforum.org.
All right, so in some parts of the world, if I got up and said, the water is polluted, it must be boiled before you drink it, they will not boil it. They'll keep drinking the water. But if I tell a story and say, Mary and her family were always getting sick, but one day Mary boiled her water before drinking it, and she and her family no longer got sick, then they would understand, oh, if Mary boils the water, I too need to boil the water. So what that's called is concrete relational learning, where we learn through stories and experience. The other form of learning is what's called abstract ideational propositional learning, where we learn the theory and then we work out the experience. So when I did med school and studied to be a doctor, I did 5 years of university and then I saw my first patient. So that's abstract ideational propositional learning. In trades, you begin on the building site and then you do the night classes. So that's concrete relational learning. Estimates are 80% of Australians prefer concrete relational learning. But because of universities and education, we were given abstract ideational propositional learning. So we know how to do it, but our preferred learning style still is concrete relational learning through stories, emotions, and experiences. Estimates are in the non-Western world, it's 90% at least to prefer concrete relational learning rather than abstract ideational. So normally when we do sermons or Bible studies, that's abstract ideational learning. Here's a theory, and then we apply it. But today, I'm going to do concrete relational learning, where we learn through stories and experiences instead. So I'm going to do something very, very different from what we normally do. So I'm going to tell you a story from the Bible, and it just works best if you don't look at the passage that's in front of you right now. It just works best if you don't look at your phone, you don't look at your computer. It just works best if you don't take notes. It just works best if you just look at me. That's how it works. So it just works best if you just look at me as I tell you these stories. And the story's coming, just for your information, from the book of Acts. It's set in the city of Philippi, hence the link to Philippians. And it's written by Luke, an eyewitness. So whenever he says we, he's referring to Paul, Silas, and at least himself. So I'm going to tell the story to us three times. The first time, I want you to just enjoy and imagine the story. Second time, I want you to remember the story. Because the third time, you're going to help me retell the story. All right, so you're going to hear a story. For those who just came in late, it just works best if you don't look at the Bible, don't look at the notes, don't try to take notes, just look at me. We're going to hear a story three times. First time, just enjoy the story and imagine it. We went out through the city gates to the river, hoping to find a place of prayer. And we sat down and we started speaking to the women there. One of the women listening was from the city of Thyatira, and her name was Lydia, and she was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and her household got baptized, she said to us, "If you consider me to be a believer in the Lord, then stay in my house." And she persuaded us. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave. And she had a spirit who could tell the future. And she made a lot of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us around, screaming, These men are servants of the Most High God, and they're telling you how to be saved. She kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul was so annoyed, he stopped and he turned to the Spirit and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And immediately the Spirit left her. Oh, when the owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they were so angry. They seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace in front of the authorities, and they said to the magistrate, "These men are Jews, and they're forcing their unlawful customs onto us Romans." So the crowds turned onto Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered that they be stripped, beaten with sticks, and thrown into prison. And they told the jailer to guard them carefully. And so the jailer took them into one of the inner prison cells, and he locked their feet into stocks. That night, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs to God, and the other prisoners were listening. And suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the prison doors were flung open and the chains fell off the prisoners. The jailer woke up, and when he saw that the prison doors were open, he took out his sword and he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out to him, "Don't hurt yourself. We're all still here." So the jailer got lights, rushed in, and he fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas. And then he led them out. And he said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household." And they began speaking the word of the Lord to him and his household. Well, that very hour, the jailer led out Paul and Silas, and he washed and bandaged their wounds, and immediately he and his household were baptized. And at that very hour, the jailer brought Paul and Silas into his home, and he laid out a meal for them, and the jailer was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his household. All right, that's a story of what happened in Philippi with Paul, Silas, and Luke. That's the first time. Hopefully you could imagine it. The second time now I'm going to tell it, you're going to remember it, because the third time you're going to help me retell it. All right, let's go. Second time. Try to remember it now. "We went out the city gates to the river, hoping to find a place of prayer. And we sat down and we started speaking to the women there. One of the women listening was from the city of Thyatira. Her name was Lydia, and she was a dealer in purple cloth. And she was a worshipper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and her household got baptized, she said to us, 'If you consider me to be a believer in the Lord, stay in my house.' And she persuaded us. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave who had a spirit inside her who could tell the future. And she made a lot of money for her owners by fortune telling. She started to follow Paul and the rest of us, screaming, These men are servants of the Most High God, and they're telling you how to be saved. She kept this up for many days, and finally Paul was so annoyed he stopped. He turned to the Spirit and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And immediately the Spirit left her. Oh, when the owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they were so angry they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace in front of the authorities, and they said to the magistrates, "These men are Jews, and they're forcing their unlawful customs onto us Romans." So the crowds turned onto Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered that they be stripped, beaten with sticks, and thrown into prison. And they commanded the jailer to guard them carefully. So the jailer took them into one of the inner prison cells, and he locked their feet into stocks. That night, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs to God, and the other prisoners were listening. And suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent, it shook the doors open, and the chains fell off the prisoners, and the jailer woke up. And when he saw that the prison doors were open, he pulled out his sword. He was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had all escaped. But Paul called out to him, "Don't hurt yourself. We're all still here." So the jailer got some light, rushed in, and he fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas. And then he led them out, and he said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they began speaking the word of the Lord to him and his household. Well, at that very night, the jailer took out Paul and Silas, and he washed and bandaged their wounds. And immediately he and his household got baptized. And at that very hour, the jailer brought Paul and Silas into his home, and he laid a meal out for them. The jailer was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his household. All right, well done. So let's go a third time. You're going to help me retell it. I'll make it really easy for you guys. If it's high school students, I'll get them to retell it to me. And they're amazing, they do. But they're the YouTube generation, all right? But for you guys, I'll make it easy. I'll do most of the retelling, and you just got to do the hard bits for me, all right? Let's go, third time. So we went out the city gates to
the river.
Well done. That's the hardest bit. Well done. And we were hoping to find
a place of prayer.
Well done. And then so we sat down, we started speaking to
some women
there. And one of them listening was from the city of Thyatira, and her name was
Lydia.
Well done. I can't hear you guys in that corner. You got to speak louder. And she was a dealer in purple cloth. And she was what? A worshipper of God. And what did the Lord do to her? Well done. The Lord opened her heart to Paul's message. And when she and her household got baptized, she said to us, "If you consider me to be what?
A worshipper of God.
A believer of..." So it wasn't a worshipper of God exactly. It was a believer in...
Jesus.
Not Jesus. So that's what's meant. But a believer in the Lord. I believe in the Lord, then stay in my house. And she persuaded us. That's episode one. Episode two. One day, as we were going to
the place of prayer,
we met a slave, and she had a spirit in her who could tell the future. And she made a lot of money for her owners by fortune telling. And she started to follow Paul and the rest of us screaming, These men are servants of the Most High God. And what are they trying to do?
Tell you how to be saved.
And she did this for many days. Finally, Paul got so annoyed. He stopped, turned to the Spirit and said,
"In the name of Jesus Christ,
come out of her." And immediately the Spirit left her. Episode 3. When the owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they were so angry. They seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities, and they said to the magistrates, "These men are
Jews,
and they're forcing their unlawful customs onto
us
Romans." So the crowds turned onto Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered that they be three things:
stripped, beaten,
and thrown into jail. And they commanded the jailer, guard them carefully. And so he did two things. What?
Took them into the inner jail and put them in stocks.
Yes, took them into the inner jail and then put their feet into stocks. And later that night, at what time?
Midnight.
Paul and Silas did two things. What were they?
Prayed.
And sang songs. Yeah, prayed and sang songs to God. And what were the other prisoners doing?
Listening.
And suddenly, there was an earthquake. So violent. Two things happened. What were they?
The door was flung open
and the chains fell off the prisoners. And the jailer woke up. And when he saw the doors were open, he pulled out his sword. He was about to kill himself because he thought the other prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out, what?
We're all still here.
Don't hurt yourself. Well done. So the jailer gets some lights, rushes in. What does he do when he rushes in?
He bows down
and falls down at the feet of Paul and Silas, leads them out, and he asks them the $6 million question, which is,
What must I do to be saved?
And their $6 million answer is,
Believe in the Lord Jesus,
and you will be saved, you and your household. And then they started speaking what?
The word of the Lord
to him and his household. And at that very night, the jailer led them out. And what did he do?
Bandaged
their wounds and washed them. And immediately something happened. What was that? Well done. He and his whole household got baptized. And then he brought them back in his home, laid a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he and his household were not saved, though that's what happened, but the wording is, had come to believe in God. Had come to believe in God. Well done. Give yourselves a... That's the first time we've done this in the history of City Bible Forum, so well done. Now, what we're going to do now is make it interactive. There's a number you can text. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. You're going to text your answers to Lachlan, and he's going to read five or ten of them out. Just because of time, we can't read everyone's out. And this way, we're going to learn from each other's insights. We're going to own our own learning. First question is, what impressed you in the story? So not what impressed you in the storytelling or in what I did, but the story itself, what impressed you in that story itself? What stood out for you? What made you go, okay. What impressed you in that story? So text your answers to Lachlan, to that number. If you don't have a phone and you really want to share your answer, just stick up your hand and we'll refer to you as well. But we'll give you a minute now. Text your answers to Lachlan and we'll just learn from each other. We're going to learn from each other's insights.
All right, so we can start going through some of the responses.
Yeah, I can't wait. I really cannot wait to hear what people got here.
Keep sending them. So people, was it thought or believed by their households? So both Lydia and the jailers, the head of the house believed and the whole household believed with them. That Paul and Silas stayed in prison when they had the opportunity to escape. That they were still praising God and praying to him despite being in jail and having been stripped and beaten. There was an immediate response. Because some of the things people got in there.
Excellent. All right. So unfortunately, because of time, we can't hear from everyone's, but already there, I really enjoyed your insights. Second question is, what questions do you have from that story? What don't you understand? What would you like explained? What questions do you have from that story? And we can actually learn from each other's questions as well. So let's text your questions. Oh, sorry, we have a hand.
I left my phone in my office.
Sure. Yeah.
And just kind of get baptized in the river.
Sure. So the question is, how did baptism look like back then? So for those who didn't hear, was there a river? It was in the middle of the night. How did that work? Yes. Any other questions from those who don't have phones? Yes, Todd.
With the jailer about to kill himself, that presumably is because if you lose your prisoners, you lose your life. So what at the end, though, isn't he courting the same punishment?
So the question was, if the prisoner escaped and the jailer has to kill himself, obviously you lose your life, you lose your prisoners, but hasn't he done exactly the same thing? I think if we read on, he finds somehow Paul and Silas haven't escaped and they end up before the magistrates the next day. So he must have just taken them home, fed them, and then put them back into prison.
So a couple of other questions that people had. What was so bad about the slave woman preaching about Paul saying that they were servants of the Most High God, and why was Paul annoyed at the spirit that was actually just saying the truth, and why did the family of the jailer also get baptized? So there's a couple of the questions that people had.
All right.
Yeah,
yes.
If God can like intervene and rescue them like that, why does he wait till after they've had the snot fell out of them?
Yes.
You know, like they get beaten badly, and then like why not save them straight away?
Yeah, so the question is, if God can save and intervene, why does he wait so long after Paul and Silas are beaten up? Why didn't he do it before they all got beaten up? All right, very good questions, and we can learn from each other's questions. Third one we're going to text in is, what did you learn about God or Jesus from this story? So what do we learn about God or Jesus, or what did you learn about God or Jesus from the story that we just heard? So text in into Lachlan. If you don't have a phone, stick up your hand and we'll hear from you. All right, can't wait to hear these ones.
So God chooses to work in the lives of people, even people we wouldn't expect, like a Roman jailer. God has a time for everything, and he's working in his time, not necessarily when we'd expect. So that there's the power of God's word. God and his word are powerful to change hearts and ultimately rescue and save. It's his servants who speak his word as well.
Okay, thanks for those insights. Final question, and we're going to learn from your insights. What is God telling you from this story? So how's your week going to be different, maybe? What are you going to do? What are you going to do differently? What is God telling you from the story we just heard? And again, if you don't have a phone, just stick up your hand and we'll gladly hear from you. Yes.
I think I was encouraged by the hospitality that Lydia showed you.
Thanks. For those who didn't hear, she was impressed by the hospitality, especially from Lydia, inviting Paul to stay and the rest of them for many days. And the jail as well, they ended up with hospitality. All right, Lachlan.
Yeah, a couple of other ones that have been texted in. So you might, following Jesus might lead to bruises, but he will still use it. There's a call to keep being like Jesus and being Christ-like. God is saying, don't worry, believe and you'll be saved. Be thankful and prayerful always. And God is using even trying circumstances to bring his purposes about. Listen to God's word. Don't underestimate people's situation, because God will prepare people's hearts to receive his word.
All right, thank you very much. So what we've just done then is an exercise in storytelling, concrete relational learning. If you want to learn to do it for yourself, it's very transferable. Look up Wycliffe run a course on this. Also, Christine Dillon has a book called Storytelling the Gospel. So either sign up for Wycliffe course or just get Christine Dillon's book on Storytelling the Gospel. Also, it was an exercise in adult learning, peer-to-peer learning. I removed myself as the all-knowing, all-wise authority figure, and you had to learn, own your own learning, and we learned from each other's peer-to-peer insights, and that was very insightful. But I'll just end with one or two of my own insights. What impressed me when I learned the story was, I never picked it up, but the jailer has asked for lights, meaning Paul and Silas are in a dark pit. I'd always imagine them in a Western-style prison with a room and bars, but they're actually in a hole in the ground. That's why he has to ask for lights. It's dark. They can't see anything from there. And that's why Paul has to call out as well. And then what you guys would have picked up, because I was very strict on the terminology, it begins with Lydia as a worshipper of God. She's a seeker. She's spiritual. She's searching. She's religious. But that's not enough. The Lord has to open her heart to respond to Paul's message, and she becomes a believer in the Lord. So she moves from worship of God to believe in the Lord. And then when the jailer says, "What must I do to be saved?" they say, "You need to believe in the Lord Jesus." And then it ends with him saying, "I have come to believe in God." So that's our journey. We all come from different places, but we're sort of religious, sort of spiritual, sort of sensing there's a God out there and we're seeking and searching, but that's not enough. We need to hear the word of Jesus, and we have to respond to Jesus and believe in Jesus. And only by doing that will we know, love, and be able to worship God. So we begin with a journey, we hear about Jesus, we believe in Jesus, and that's how we'll find God. And I think that's what that story is saying. Yes. Oh, so the question, yeah.
Never got answered.
Why are they telling the woman to stop revealing who they are? It's really, as a story, it functions the same way the stories of the spirits in Jesus' synoptic gospels do. And then the spirit's always yelling out, "We know who you are, you're the Son of God." And they're yelling out, "We know who you are, you're servants of the Most High God." So, and it functions as an irony that somehow the spirits are the ones who have worked out the answer, what the truth is. So there's an irony function. And then it also functions theologically to show, as powerful as the spirits are, Jesus is in power over them, and now his followers have power over them. And maybe it was just a pragmatic thing that although they're revealing the truth, maybe it was hindering their ministry in some way. And so that's why Jesus often even told the spirits, "Shh, you know, don't tell them who I am." Even when he raises the dead girl, he says to the family, "Shh, don't tell anyone I've done this." So maybe pragmatically, at a functional level, we can only guess that it was hindering their ministry. But in the book of Acts, it functions then to show that, wow, Jesus has gone. You know, he's come, but he's gone. But now his followers become Jesus on his behalf. So our job as followers is to be a blessing in the same way Jesus was a blessing.
The recording that you have just listened to is from the City Bible Forum. For more information about City Bible Forum events in your city, or to order other talks, please visit citybibleforum.org.